Hi, welcome to the Sue Dockerill Show. I am very excited, all my listeners out there. We have a great show planned. I have a mother of a teenage daughter who's 18, and she just turned 18 in the course of a 90-day coaching contract that we had. And I'm going to bring her on the show. And we're going to talk a little bit about the process of coaching and the breakthroughs that this family experienced from having someone, you know, really it's an outside-in kind of perspective. You know how it is when you get caught up in the drama of your own life? Sometimes it's difficult to see what's going on. And, in fact, a lot of my coaching comes from the mistakes I've made and being able to share those mistakes with other people. And, you know, if the world had somebody outside in looking and helping fine-tune things when they're not going the way we want them to go, it can be a very helpful opportunity for growth. So let's just bring on my guest, who I'm so excited. Let's see. Marie, are you there?
Hi, Sue.
How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about the journey that you've experienced through the coaching, the 90-day challenge. Like, what is it that you wanted at the beginning of the 90-day challenge?
We had such a great experience. We had such a great experience, and basically what we wanted at the beginning of the challenge was just to get control over our family and basically a different perspective on raising an adult child that's 18 that still has to follow rules and blend in with the family.
And, you know, I think people, you know, a lot of listeners out there have all different age children. And, you know, we get into the power struggles of little kids and, you know, bringing children into the world, the birthing pain. But I'll tell you what, a lot of people are not prepared for the letting go pain. And it
right.
really doesn't have to be that painful. And so those of you that have maybe the preteens, listen up, because, you know, they are going to go on their own course. It's how it's designed. The V of love is to be kind and firm when children are little and have the structure before you put the love into that structure where they have a bedtime and routines and they know what to expect. And then as they get older, we let go and we let them make mistakes and our job changes from providing all that structure to actually opening up opportunities for our children to fail or to make mistakes or to just try things on and see how it works for them. And, you know, the shifting from the control to how can I help my child be in control of their own life. Can you describe a little bit, Marie, what that shift was like for you?
The shift, actually, it started out of the painful process with my husband and I thinking that we can control every move and micromanage everything she was doing, and it just created a lot of havoc in the house and just not a lot of happiness. But the shift basically happened with letting go and realizing that she is an adult and she is going to make mistakes, and just opening up that line of communication, to be honest, has really helped tremendously.
Mm. And, you know, part of the control, can you kind of describe some of the things that you attempted to do, like a lot of parents do when their children start experimenting maybe with drugs or boyfriends or, you know, the social scene? What were some of the controlling things that maybe, you know?
Yeah, the controlling things were just really being concerned about the drinking, because let's face it, teenagers are drinking. And also, too, that we tried to control who she was going to date, which dating now is different from dating that when I did it. So it just did not work. And just, you know, blowing up the cell phones and trying to figure out where she is and having her explain where she is and who's there, it just doesn't work. You know, once they start driving, they do have a certain amount of freedom. and there needs to be trust.
So the more angry you got, and there were some things taken away from her, right? That she lost quite a few privileges.
She lost
her freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, she lost basically every privilege, and that was being caught with an illegal substance.
And so as you took all those things away, did it improve the situation?
No, it most certainly made it worse, especially when you have a child that's a powerful child and very independent, and this mm-hmm. has been since birth, you know, in a sense of she's just a strong-willed child. That technique might have worked for maybe a more passive child, but even so, it just was a bad plan to take everything away, and she was in the house for a month, and it just made things so miserable rather than talking about the situation.
And, you know, looking at back at how it made you feel, because what parents don't realize, a lot of times when we withhold things, we end up withholding love as well. And so, you know, the anger and the upset and some of the things that we say to children, it actually makes them feel right, because when we lose control, then they feel like they have more power. And could you kind of relate to that? Did you notice that it was almost like feeding her when you took things away, when you screamed at her, when you got...
Yep. Absolutely. And all it did was actually empower her to rely more on her friends as her advice and her support versus her family, where she should be getting the most love and the most attention from. It was just almost I was creating an enemy. So
yeah.
It just was terrible.
And what did it do to your marriage? Because just a little background on your marriage. How many years have you been married?
John and I have been married for 23 years, and we dated for 6 years prior to that.
So you met John when you were 18?
When I was 18, yes.
Yeah. So this is one of those love, passionate marriages that have, stood the grounds of time. And I know your relationship, that you are both very much in love with each other even today. But can you describe how it kind of rocked your relationship with John during all of this upset?
Right. We never fought ever the way that we fought. I want to say from the time, let's just say it was a 6 month span from 17 and a half to 18. Never, ever, ever with blaming one another for her behavior, which is something we've never blamed each other for anything. It just really created a lot of distrust between the two of us, where I could see a marriage that wasn't solid being actually split apart over children.
Mm. And then, you know, it's funny because when they're in my divorce class, a lot of times parents will seem surprised when I say that children feel responsible. But when you think about it, the two things that parents fight over most are money and children. So,
right.
You know, it would make sense that children would feel that responsibility. And, you know, as far as having a coach, what was it like having someone come in, looking outside in, and, you know, how did that, you know, that's a process too, is trusting to have somebody come in. You know, we've all been taught what happens in the home stays in the home. And a lot of us believe that, you know, let's shut the doors and just hunker down. And you'll notice parents with teenagers, they do that. They disconnect from their friends, and they kind of like, you know, batten down the hatch and disconnect.
Right.
What was it like having another set of eyes on the situation?
And that's exactly how you can describe it. I actually felt that I had someone on my side, that I had a voice, and the screaming stopped. You know, versus where, let's say, for instance, John and I were blaming one another with all the freedom that I gave her, because I was raised so strict that I wanted her to have fun and the opposite life that I had, and where John wanted that tight control, and we just couldn't have that happy medium. But it, because of the fighting, with him and I being against one another and a child not speaking to us, I felt like you were on my side and you understood what I was saying, where we were able to talk through you versus it just stopped the screaming, and where Marlo has such respect for you and felt like, you know, it was a friend that she could speak to, that she could say whatever she wanted and that you were not going to repeat what she said and you had her trust.
Well, I think you're paying me the highest compliment a coach can receive, because the truth is I was on everybody's side. So,
right.
You know,
right.
And I was
that.
On nobody's
know
side,
that.
You know,
right.
At the same time, because
very
I really
neutral.
Didn't have a preference. Yeah. It's like I had no preference. And I also gave you the space to continue to fight. And I acknowledged you several times for being so real with me. I think I called that one coaching call we had when I was on the phone and you guys had me on the speakerphone in the car. And, you know, I think, you were both feeling the pain and you were hurting her and she was hurting you. And it was so real. And then the time that I also came to your house that one night, and, you know, it was like I could just see John. He'd had enough. He was going to not give her any money. And I could see her side where she's like, I don't need your money. I will take out loans. I'm going to pay for everything. And, you know, you could just see everybody. And you actually kind of took almost like a back seat, which, you know, it seemed like you kind of were kind of just like stepping back a little bit. And because normally, remember, you told me as I was coaching you, you were stepping back, but then John stepped in. And, you know, so it was just like almost like you replaced John, or he replaced you.
Right. Yeah. And that's where I think the role in the house needed to be to start with. You know, where, you know, and it just a lot of things just surfaced, and it really was that monumental meeting, I think, that we basically just gave her enough rope to say what she wanted to say. And, you know, it took her a couple days to simmer down, and fortunately she had my mom's house to go to, which is good. But, you know, she realizes the hurtful things that she said versus, let's say, a year ago, would never even acknowledge anything or be accountable for anything she said. But there's been, in this 3 months' time, Sue, what maturity. I cannot believe it.
She didn't really say anything hurtful that night. All she was doing is saying that I'll take care of myself. Like, I can do this without you. And it was funny to watch John, because the more she said that, the more he just felt like a loss of control. And that's what happens to parents. When we take things away, ultimately kids can say, I don't care. And what I could see her doing is going off in a direction where it was the opposite direction of where she really wanted to go originally.
Yes.
And so she was going into the fire instead of away from it. Because can you imagine that if she had just walked out that night, you know, there's a lot of young girls will get into relationships with, you know, just because of the money situation, or they will, you know, give up on their dreams. And you could see where she was pretty much drawing a line in the sand. Like,
yes.
No, I won't, and you can't make me.
Right.
And
right.
I want to caution parents on this, because this is the part when it seems like the least likely thing to do. It's called detach. And detachment is not giving up on the caring or the loving. Detachment is letting go, allowing your child to take responsibility. And so what we created that night, I know that John was yelling about, you're going to come home when I tell you to come home, and you're not going anywhere, and you're not getting a dime from us. And right at that point, I kind of hopped in and said, I want to give you a suggestion. And do you want to share what my suggestion was and how that landed?
Oh, the suggestion was we were taking her curfew completely off the table and have her manage her own time, like the mature adult we know she is. Well, I actually was in agreement with that because I honestly felt we were at a point she could handle that, where my husband, how about the look on his face, Sue? he was like, not happening. No way. You know, I'm not having her run amok all hours of the night, blah, 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 blah. And we decided that, you know, at that point, probably we're maybe 4 weeks out from our coaching ending, that you were not wrong about one thing. Not one thing that you told us to do would be the opposite of how John and I were raised. And we were like, you know what? We have all the faith and we're going to do it. And let me tell you, in turn, I got a completely responsible young adult who texts us where she's going and who she's going with and has not slept out of the house and is home at a reasonable hour. It's unbelievable.
And here's the kicker. She's 18. And so legally, by law, even though parents hold their purse strings over their 18-year-olds, because she certainly doesn't have the financial means, but that's another trap parents fall into, is we use money. But really what you want to use is you can handle your freedom, we're going to give it to you. It's like freedom comes with responsibility. Let's just do an experiment. Let's give you your freedom, and let's see how responsible you can be handling that freedom. And if you can handle it, then there's really no reason. And it is a good idea to go over what handling responsible, you know, what it actually is going to look like. You know, like if you're going to drink, that you don't get in a car, that you have a designated driver, that you, you know, they're going off to a college where alcohol is going to run, you know, flow freely. And here they are 18, and so many parents hover over their children, and then they send them almost like they're sending them out to a pack of wolves. Because they haven't experimented, they haven't managed themselves very well, and now all of a sudden they're on their own, and a lot of kids, they can't even handle the college life. Because, and you know, it's in the statistics, 80% of kids that get their bright futures lose it within the first semester. You know, I like to look at, you know, when you've got that opportunity to have your 17, 18-year-old child in your home, put it on them. You know, I'm going to give you as much freedom as you can handle. And, you know, let's try it out. My job is to help you figure it out. And there are some things that aren't going to work. Now, if a child gets caught with alcohol, there's a consequence that the law will step in. You know, it's illegal.
Correct.
And I caution parents on bailing their kids out. You know, there's nothing wrong with spending a little time, you know, paying for things and having those natural consequences teach them the lessons. Little community service, you know, maybe spending a night in jail. Maybe, you know, some of these things can keep children alive. We think that consequence is so bad until, you know, a child that maybe if they had gone to jail, they might not be doing drugs anymore. But because the parents kept them from going to jail, now the child is no longer alive. So it's like sometimes we just have to get out of the way and then come in with empathy. So instead of like, oh, I told you not to do this, or I told you this guy was a loser, instead, just like kind of have that support of bummer, you know, like wow, you know, it's really sad.
I totally agree, you know. And it's funny when you come from a place, especially I think it has a lot to do as us parents how we're raised. And I came from an extremely, my parents are from Italy, so imagine growing up in that house. So, you know, a super strict Italian Catholic guilt background. Wow. It's amazing. You know, and I was like wild, but they never knew it. I just knew how to hide it. So, you know, it's just, I think not being in denial about what our kids are doing is the first thing. That's the first step. And yeah. It's not saying that you're giving them permission to go get alcohol poisoning or go get arrested, but to open up that line of trust and communication, knowing that there is peer pressure. It hasn't changed from when we were kids. And it's just not being in denial, first and foremost, and being able to let go is a painful, painful process. But I feel this will secure her success in college.
And how do you feel inside as a woman, as a, you know, like, what's changed in your life, like, as a result of this?
You know, I feel that I can lead by example. You know, I don't want my adult child as my best friend. I don't want that. I want her to be my daughter. So I feel that I can lead by example in a sense that she can trust me. She can, I feel like she has my work ethic. You know, she's a generous, kind-hearted person. A lot of these characteristics are coming about because we're not sitting on top of her. It's amazing, amazing until the awesome adult she's going to blossom into. But I just feel that it has helped our relationship where I've gained a lot of respect that I lost through the screaming and the fighting and the name calling and all the ridiculous things that we do when we get angry and provoked.
And you know, those triggers too, you can't help but when you get upset that your past can grab you, and it's, you know, it's science. It's actually your brain downshifts, and it's the old brain and the limbic part of our brain that takes over. And you have a choice, you know, when you realize this, that when you're upset and you're in that fight or flight mode, nothing in your life is going to work.
No.
And that's why I always teach parents to don't worry about self-causing your kids as much as yourself. That 1, 2, 3 magic, it's really you're counting to 3 to stop yourself.
Yes.
Take a walk, count to 10, sometimes 100, maybe even, you know, just keep counting and walk it off until you feel grounded again, until you can look at your child's life from outside in, just like a life coach, and try to not have a preference, you know. Giving kids choices, it's time to do your homework. You could sit at the kitchen table or up in your room. How much time do you need to set aside to get this assignment done? And as soon as it's done, come show it to me and feel free to go out and hang out and have some free time. When they're
right.
younger, you want to set them up like that. Then as they get older, you know, you start to let go, and maybe even failing a subject might be something important to have happen, you know, in middle school versus, you know, their junior or sophomore year when the grades really count. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, big time.
You know, like the more they can learn from natural consequences and you're there to help pick them up, dust them off, and, you know,
that is so true.
You can do this. Like, what did you
say?
So,
so true.
About dating, too. It's like, you know, nobody ever dates a guy, you know, you got to go through a few toads before you find the prince, right? And so
absolutely.
People don't freak out when their kids start dating and maybe it's not the one. But what happens to these poor kids when the parents push is they tend to go towards that kid more than pulling back and taking a look. And one of the great exercises parents can do with dating is have your kids make a list. And I even do this with adults that are divorced and going dating. It's like, you know, if you go shopping without a list, you're going to end up with something you don't want. And so it's important, you know, to have a conversation. Now, what are the characteristics? It's so funny, Marie, because I'm thinking of another show, and I really would love to see people have a checklist. And don't marry the person on the list if he doesn't, you know, if you can't check off all these things on the list.
That is,
you could
that is so true.
Spousal abuse. Because all the signs are there. It's just that people are looking at, like my Martin County High School girls on their list, they came up with good looking, tall, good kisser. Well, there's a lot of good looking, tall, good kissers. I think maybe even Ted Bundy might have been one of those, but you know, if you got to put more on the list,
because that kind of person could be an abusive person. And we know that abusive people start out by showering all kinds of gifts and lavish attention, and that control and jealousy, it all feels so, especially if a child is coming from a family where they're not feeling loved, they're not feeling valued, they don't feel powerful. A child can walk into an abusive relationship quite easily, especially if the parents have been abusive, because the perfect imago fit is to find somebody who finishes off where the parents leave off. So if you're yelling and nagging, look out, because that's probably what your child's going to run into.
Right.
Any words about that or any thoughts as I'm talking about that?
I guess I totally agree. And I feel that, especially for a girl, if you really need to give a female child an opportunity to really pick what they want. And it's like shopping. And you cannot really sit there and say, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, because I'm not the one dating him. And that was great advice you gave me. You know, of course, you know, in my 6-year span that I met my husband very young, I dated people in between. It wasn't 6 years solid that we dated. If I didn't have that reference, where would I be to know what I wanted? You know, and I just think that I feel for me, it's just brought so much happiness and no anxiety in my house to giving her freedom to figure out what she does want.
Yeah.
And not judge
her. And you can have her make a list, you know. Her make a list of what's important to her. Then she has a reference, too, when she goes off to college. She's just, because, see, women really do the picking. And, you know, we have that kind of feminine energy. We are the ones that typically say yes to sex or no to sex. It's the way it is. And we have
right.
a lot of power, a lot of power. And women need to feel that empowerment. There's no reason to be in an abusive relationship. The signs are on the outside. In fact, everybody that's ever been in my divorce class that's ever shared that they were in an abusive relationship, they really, you know, didn't choose it deliberately. But they, looking back and given a list of signs to look for, they were like shocked. Oh, my gosh. My relationship was headed in that direction. And if anybody had just put that list in front of me, I would have said I could have seen it. But what's so confusing about it is that in the beginning of most relationships, everybody is going to show you their best side. And I feel for these guys, too, that and women that abuse people that don't have control over their anger, because I know they're coming from abuse. And
right.
you can relearn. You can learn to manage your anger. You can, you know, social intelligence, emotional intelligence is such a big thing right now. You can start to learn how to manage yourself in a way that you don't surrender to, you know, hurting people when you're upset. But unfortunately, that's what happens, is we trigger the past, and depending on what that past looked like, we tend to, our brain gets hijacked. So you really also want to look at what kind of family is this person coming from, and how well do they get along with their mom and dad, because that's huge. So, you know, that's pretty cool that you and John, and that you guys are giving your daughter a family where she's being launched in a way that gives her the responsibility and the power. Can you see where that's going to help her?
Definitely, you know,
choosing someone that's, you know, that's going to give her that power in her marriage or her relationships, that's not going to, you know, try to control her.
Yeah, I agree. And also, too, with sending your child to college, there needs to be some sense of empowerment on being on your own, you know, and being able to experience things before you get there and not being in denial
yeah.
about it, you know, rather
yeah.
than, you know, saying, not my kid, that's ridiculous. But I definitely think that she's definitely has the tools to go away. And what a fearful thought that if we did not go through this process
and she went away just to get away from us. That was her main pick on picking a college that was far, to get rid of me and her dad. And, you know,
I want the opposite. There's a lot of people out there in that situation. A lot of kids out there in that situation.
Yeah. You know, you think of everything we do from the time they're babies and toddlers, and we think that that's so hard, losing sleep. And, you know, I don't know. I said I would have rather taken care of, like, a teething baby with a fever. And I don't even know what else than the late teen years. But, you know, now it's given me the ability to enjoy it, you know, that it's amazing how the whole dynamic of the house has just had a shift.
And, you know, Marie, you shared something with me earlier. Do you want to share that wisdom that your mom passed on to you? Because I thought that was such a clever, wonderful way. Because, you know, I've always looked back on you and John and your marriage and seeing how, you know, you can just see the love. You can see it and feel it. You know, you can just tell he's so devoted to you. And you're kind of a sexy, you know, spirited woman. And, you know, you feel it. You feel the energy around the two of you. What is the secret?
The secret my mom gave me, it's funny. My parents have been married for 48 years. But my mom gave me the night before my wedding, was that, Maria, this one piece of advice that's going to give you a long, happy marriage is that only one of you can be an idiot at one time. So when he's an idiot, you just shut down and look the other way, and I'm going to give him the same advice, and you will never, ever argue. And let me tell you something. It lasted until, you know, the late teen years when we were fighting about the control over our child that had nothing to do with John or I.
But it even works kind of when I think about it. It seemed like one of you was always a little bit more grounded than the other one. It seemed like you went off at different times. So I kind of still really kind of saw that in existence, you know, where you kind of took turns. So, you know, it's like that's a really powerful tool, is just to realize, you know, maybe idiot. We all are going to have moments in our lives where we're out of control, where our brain gets hijacked, where we're not going to say the right thing, do the right thing. And, you know, it's important that you think about that with the person that you're in a relationship with, that, you know, you're going to be the grounded one. I call it be the tree, where you just don't react and you kind of hold the ground or the space. Now, typically, men are the strong ones, and women would be very smart to teach the man how to stand and be strong, but, you know, you've to them, and you've got to allow them to be that position in the family. And so often what I'm seeing is women, because our brain goes in seven different directions, we have a tendency to, you know, micromanage everything, and we push the man away, and I got this. And then we get resentful because we're doing it all by ourselves. But more importantly, we've lost the rock. We've lost that foundation. And a man is going to be a very instrumental, you know, role in a family as far as being the one that's grounded, to being the one that, you know, is just there. So whatever you can do to make your man feel more like a man, acknowledge, appreciate each other. And I want to thank you so much for giving me the privilege of coaching your family. Like, no kidding.
Thank you, Sue.
So much fun. And I want to keep bringing things to the radio. And I know everybody that's listening would love to have Marie come back on the show because, you know, life's a journey. You've got a son right behind her. How old's your son?
Noah's going to be 15.
He's 15.
Yeah,
so, you know.
And that when she goes off to college, he'll start. we'll see what happens.
Life's a journey. Enjoy it, you know, and do something nice for yourself. Everybody that's listening, go out there. Marie, you want to end with, you know, how important it is to take care of yourself, because that was probably one of the biggest pieces that I give parents is take care of yourself first.
so important because I made a commitment to myself that I'm back to exercising 4 times a week, which is so important to me. And
awesome.
Not only for stress relief, to actually feel like I was a priority, because we do get hung up that we do put our children first and sometimes before our husbands. And that's really the wrong dynamic, because we do have to put ourselves first. Our husband is going to be the one that's with us when our kids leave. And our children are important, but if we're not together or feeling great about ourselves, it's not going to happen, because then being resentful is going to set in.
That's awesome. So that whole me, relationship, children, work, hold on to that, write it down somewhere. And, you know, if you want some tools on how to get yourself up on the top of that list, listen to our radio show. We're here Monday through Thursday, and we'll be on the show tomorrow, so tune in, and I'm looking forward to it. So thank you, Marie, and go out and celebrate. You deserve it.
All right. Thanks, Sue.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Tuning in. Okay, bye-bye. We'll see you tomorrow.